Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
There it is.
Happy Tuesday. I'm in a good mood. A very good mood.
Is it because the Sabres played last night?
It is. How did you know?
Hey, man, I watched 2.5 periods of that hockey game while Ravens and Lions was going on.
Mm.
Does that make me the problem?
No, it's good. It makes you better than me. I watched one of those games and kept track on the Sabres on my phone. It's the most I could do.
Well, the psychopath that actually watched most of a Sabres preseason game is Derek Kramer. Across from me is Zach Jones. Welcome back into the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And yeah, you're giddy today. And I know it's not because the Sabres played preseason hockey last night. But Monday night did yield a good result for Bills fans.
It was, you know, not only that, it was a great game, a lot of fun to watch that really made up for how bad Sunday night was with Chiefs and Giants. And it just, yeah, I mean, it is set up the early part of the season, you know, the first month or so of the season has really set up perfectly for the Bills. You still have teams like the Colts and the Chargers who are 3-0, and to be fair, maybe looking less at the Colts, but more at the Chargers. They might be a real problem, especially with Harbaugh and how they've really been able to figure out life without Rashawn Slater this year, which is surprising. Him being an all-pro tackle, you would think that'd be a little bit more of a struggle. To them, it hasn't been at all. But to see both Baltimore and Kansas City struggle mightily to start the year, and for that week one loss for Baltimore, that maybe honestly should have just been a blip on the radar. They're just going to move on. You had that game. It is what it is. You lost on the road. Moving on. Instead, now week one has become so important for the triumvirate of the AFC, with, you know, Kansas City having a tough start to this year, with Worthy getting hurt, losing to the Chargers, Rashee Rice, of course, being suspended. Then you go over to Baltimore. They lose that game. Now they lose last night. Their defense continues to look really bad. And now those two get to play each other. And it's just so exciting. And I think I saw today, I think it was Albert Breer said it, that he's like, you know, we knew these two teams would meet up, but them both being 1-2 has somehow made this game more important than if they were 3-0. And I think that's true. That if they were both 3-0, well, of course, it's Ravens, Chiefs, you know, they'll be back in January.
Right.
The loser on Sunday at 4:25, around 7:30, when we like definitively know the end of that game.
By the time 8 o'clock on Sunday night.
It will be tough to confidently say a team that's 1-3, oh, they'll be back in January.
I will
you
say.
You can stay. You can say it, but it'll be a little bit tougher.
It'll be a little bit tougher, but 1-3 doesn't look so daunting, say, if the rest of your division is 2-2. Which can conceivably happen. And I'm more pointing at the Ravens here.
Yes.
The Bengals are this. And you know what? Let's actually just put the question out there. 803-0550 is the number to call. Who is the team that you'd want to dip to 1-3? Who's the team that you are less afraid of as we're rounding into the first month of the season closing out soon? While the Bills are sitting pretty at 3-0, the rest of the AFC, when it comes to its division leaders, are not who you'd suspect. And that's what we're going to go into today. And I'm more looking at the AFC North. Again, I see a group that is not really inspiring much confidence. And if the Ravens fall to 1-3, I have zero doubts they will still win the division. I mean, Cincinnati faces Denver. Cleveland's got Detroit. Have fun with that. Pittsburgh's got Minnesota, who's apparently a buzzsaw.
Yeah, they just don't need J.J. McCarthy. If it's Sam Darnold or Carson Wentz, they're going to be incredible.
If it's a veteran
redheaded
journeyman,
quarterback.
If it's a veteran redheaded journeyman, this is oddly specific.
Andy Dalton.
Vikings are great.
Andy Dalton,
you're next. But the main point of it being, yeah, I could see the entire AFC North losing next week. Which then leaves Baltimore one game out of first place again.
Right, and all of a sudden, nothing's changed. Of course, the Burrow injury will loom large over the rest of the AFC, but especially the AFC North. Them falling to 1-3, yeah, it kind of won't change how I feel about them winning the division. The same cannot be said for the Chiefs.
And that is where I say I'm okay with the Chiefs getting to 2-2. You want to know why? The Chargers face the Giants. I know, it's the NFL. We can't assume one thing or the other. Cleveland beat Green Bay, yada, 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 in the fourth. I have zero doubts about the Bills and the Chargers in week four staying unbeaten. Zero doubts about it. And that's where I go ahead and say, yeah, Kansas City, go to 2-2. You're not winning your division. Not this time. Do I unleash the unpopular take 10 minutes into the show?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Not even 10 minutes into the show, really. Yeah, I kind of want the Bills to be the one to put the sword in them once and for all again. I'm back at it.
Yeah.
I want the Bills to be the one to put the Chiefs down.
No, and I can
But they
get
have
that.
A problem with them in the playoffs. Past results do not guarantee future outcomes. And I'm going to say it again there. But there's this petulance to me. This pettiness, I would even like. I want the Bills to be the one. Roose Bolton stabbing Robb Stark.
I mean, I get that.
The Lannisters send their regards. Let the Bills be the one to take them down, and it's mostly just a selfish pettiness of mine. The Ravens? I've seen enough of the Ravens against the Bills. I'm not super confident, for example, that they'll win again. Past results do not guarantee future outcomes. As a matter of fact, I'd be more weary of, okay, you handle them in the playoffs all the time. Someday the other shoe's going to fall. Right? And I'm there with Kansas City still of, one day the other shoe will drop. One day. The Bills looking as strong as they have against Kansas City. I do want the Bills to be the one to put them down. There is unfortunately one problem with my desires on this. Kansas City's defense is still really good.
I don't know if it's really good. I think it's a fine unit, but they do look older. Chris Jones is still very good. I think more who I'm worried about with that come the end of the year is Spagnuolo. you kind of assume he's going to figure it out, get them in the right spots, and then they'll be good. I look at the Chiefs more. It's a fine unit. It's not a bad unit. It's a fine unit. I get worried with the Chiefs of, yeah, they look bad now, but what happens when they do get Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy back? Does that actually fix all of their problems? Maybe it doesn't. There's a good chance it doesn't. That ultimately it's like, no, it's a systematic problem. They're just the offensive line still isn't very good, what have you. So that's where, for me with the Chiefs, I kind of I'm up and down of like who I actually do want to win this. I mean, it's Tuesday. We've got some time here.
We got a lot of time to change our minds.
But I'm up and down of who I actually want to win this game. Because for the Chiefs, they lose this game, go to 1-3. I'm not with you. I think if they're 2-2, they're still very much alive in the division. The Chargers could absolutely fall apart. I mean, we've also seen the Bills have very strong starts. Allen has, you know, the MVP in the bag, and then the season kind of gets away from them a little bit. They're still fine, but season gets a little bit of away from them, and they don't have to deal with Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid in the division. So the same could happen for the Chargers. At 1-3, I find it far more unlikely.
Yeah, especially because the Chargers do play the Giants, and a 3-game lead on the division 1 month into it gives the Chargers a lot of cushion that,
right.
Granted, a team only like them would relent, but it's a lot harder to. I'm seeing a different Chargers identity right now than I've seen in years past. They're actually throwing the football with Greg Roman as the OC. Herbert chucked the ball 47 times.
Yeah, it wasn't a one-game anomaly because you're playing Patrick Mahomes and it's week one. That's sort of their identity now. Ladd McConkey is their third option at receiver. He looked like he was going to be a future perennial Pro Bowler. I mean, Quentin Johnston looks like a real serious receiver. They have been very, very impressive. And really, I think maybe that's my biggest takeaway from what will be next Sunday, almost definitely, will be whoever loses between Baltimore and Kansas City won't go away entirely in my mind.
Correct. They'll still probably be playoff teams, both of them.
But they'll probably be replaced by the Chargers of like, okay, we need to start talking about them, worrying about them. What's their defensive numbers? What's their offensive numbers? Like, who are their big guys? You know, are they picking up any injuries? Who's next on their schedule? For right now, the Chargers are more like, you know, this plucky, you know, young, fun team. They're interesting. Ooh, they're taking down the Chiefs. Like, we still kind of like them. I would imagine by the Bills' bye week, which is not that far off, the tone will change with them. But it is curious to see. And it really, it's been a triumvirate. It has been those three, Bills, Baltimore, Kansas City, for years now, at least five, of just those are your three best. Even if someone else like Tennessee is the one seed, they don't match up with them. They're not part of that trio. And don't worry about it. And now, next Monday, or as I mentioned, 7:30 on Sunday, one of those, unless it's a tie, I don't want someone to call me out on it. I know, but it's unlikely. One of those teams will probably be 1-3, and really having to struggle along the rest of the year. I mean, for the Chiefs especially, if they fall to 1-3, you better hope Rice and Worthy fix your offense, because if not, you can't. We're already seeing it now. The one score games are not going the way they did last year for them. They are dropping some of them.
Mm-hmm.
They are having a much more difficult time getting it done. And you're already seeing some of the tempers flaring and what have you. We've also seen this kind of before the Chiefs sort of ascended, because they've lost Super Bowls and been just fine the year following. But that used to be a thing for about a 10-year, 15-year period where the team that lost the Super Bowl really struggled the following year. The Super Bowl hangover. Maybe it finally caught up to the Chiefs. I was talking with some fans, you know, Sunday night talking about it. And, you know, the cup tax was sort of brought up of how you go to 2-3 straight finals. I mean, that's amazing. And you maybe even won 2 or 3 cups. But you also played a ton more hockey than everybody else. And now it starts to wear and tear in your body. That can absolutely and probably is very true for the Chiefs of, yeah, the AFC Championship has essentially been the Arrowhead Invitational for 7 years. And you've played far more extra football compared to your compatriots, who are now maybe getting younger. The Bills, they're in their second year of this quote-unquote retool. You know, Baltimore's got some young guys as well. The Chargers you're seeing coming up, they're maybe more better equipped to take you on now than in years past.
And the way I'm framing my argument as of right now also is designed with the one seed in mind. It would turn into a monkey's paw-ish one seed, potentially. The Bills getting a one seed and the Chiefs are suddenly the 5, 6, or 7. And the next thing you know, Buffalo's playing them to open the playoff structure again. And it's like, you can't escape this. This is fate. This is destiny. You have to face
them. You have to get through
them. You have to beat them to get through. Which would be annoying as all hell. But I also have it on the designs of, this is the thing that the Bills haven't done in the regular season. So me saying put the Ravens at 1-3 has more to do with my respect overall for the Ravens and their offense and a lack of respect for the AFC North. What this is also respect for the Chargers. I'm not as worried about Kansas City catching them as in years past. You cleanly have a 2-game lead on them if things go chalk. Which would be, like, if Kansas City does manage to beat Baltimore, as long as you take care of the Giants, the Chargers are 4-0 and have a clean 2-game lead with the advantage of they already are 3-0 in their division. The primary tiebreaker is theirs. The Chargers have far more of a capability of slamming the door on the Chiefs, even with the Chiefs' win over Baltimore. The AFC North does not. Are you telling me that the current leader, I need to go ahead and trust in Jake Browning to slam the door on the Ravens here? Not a chance.
No, the last two games have kind of told you whatever magic fairy dust he had 2 years ago where he looked like a top five backup quarterback, it seems to have completely vanished.
What, he doesn't play all of any sort of football last year and he turns into...
I mean, a bad backup quarterback. I mean, he's a bad backup quarterback now.
Turns into a pumpkin at midnight all of a sudden because he didn't play any games last year?
Yeah, maybe.
But it is a total lack of respect for the AFC North. Oh, what about the Steelers? What about them? They tried losing to the Jets and Patriots. And only failed to lose to the Jets and Patriots because they are indeed the Jets and the Patriots. A Bills team whose defense we have plenty of questions about.
Oh, yeah.
The Jets scored 32 on Pittsburgh. Then, of course, the Patriots just go ahead and bizarro world it. Here's the football 5 times, Steelers. Nah, we still don't feel like winning.
Watching some of that, real quick on that, watching some of the Patriots-Steelers game, it was embarrassing for the Patriots, especially because 2 of those turnovers come in effectively the goal line. You have the May pick, and then you also have one of Ramondre Stevenson's fumbles. The Patriots were in a position to maybe run away with that game and could not do it. They couldn't do anything positive.
Right. But then you look at the other side, though. The Steelers, up until turnover number 5, you had 7 points on 4 turnovers. That's embarrassingly bad. And I'm supposed to believe that Aaron Rodgers is a true threat here? No, in two of the three games, he's looked shaky as heck. The saving grace, the Jets game. And the Jets have shown, we're kind of going to roll over on anyone that has offense.
Yeah.
They
were punchy this week, but it did take one of what felt like 15,000 block kicks to really get them back into it. Tampa kind of controlled that game the whole time. Taylor really wasn't able to get going until like the fourth quarter. I mean, the difference with all of this too is like the Bills' schedule is very soft, but the Bills have credibility. The Bills have been there and done this for years. You know how good they are. So the expectation is, yeah, they should beat a team when they're favored by 12.5. They're going to be favored by 16.5 or around that number by Sunday against New Orleans, where Pittsburgh doesn't have that credibility. So when they're struggling, you're like, yeah, they're struggling. That's not good. Where for the Bills, it's like, it's September. They'll be just fine. But they're starting to accumulate wins where the rest of the AFC North kind of is. But that's probably going to start to slow down here.
Yeah, and this happened last year too, where the Ravens were staring up at everybody.
Yep.
And they won their division relatively comfortably. So that's just what it is. I would like to see the Ravens a little more in that struggle bus. Because of the fact that 1-3 is harder to claw out of, yes, but also This is with the one seed in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I ultimately don't fear any one team in the postseason, like, which is the framed question that we have on Twitter. Because you are also, with the Buffalo Bills, a team to be feared. Granted, I know in Kansas City that's not the case. They don't fear the Bills. They don't fear anyone, as a matter of fact. But when you look around the league, who's the team that always challenges Kansas City in the playoffs? Who's the team that gives you probably the game of the year in the postseason? It's the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And they do this all the time. They are who they are. And who they are is an unfortunate story of a powerhouse that cannot break through. Maybe the one seed changes that.
It's what we've been talking about most of the offseason leading into the season was it's the one thing you haven't done in the regular season. It's the one thing. Maybe that is the difference from getting over a Baltimore or, more importantly, a Kansas City to get to your first Super Bowl in this run.
And if the playoffs started today, they'd still not have the one seed.
Is that because of point differential?
It's because of point differential, and it's also because of Daniel Jones and the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Shane Steichen might have it as a head coach. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to the phones here before our first timeout. CJ is with us first up today. CJ, how we doing?
Hey, guys. Morning. I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Good. So I called you guys week one after the Bills game when we beat Baltimore, and you know we were talking about how you know the Bills gave up 40 that game, but Baltimore mm-hmm. gave up 41. And then last night, I mean, Detroit's offensive line was just bullying Baltimore's front. I mean, they were moving guys around. I think Montgomery had like 12 yards of carry after the game ended last night. I mean, and he's not Jahmyr Gibbs. He doesn't have breakaway speed. So they're just creating holes for him to just, you know, burst right through. I mean, is Baltimore the team to even fear now as our opponent going into the playoffs? You know, it's week four, right? So there's still, you know, three quarters of the season left. But, I mean, I don't think Baltimore is the big bad Baltimore that they have been in years past. Obviously, Lamar is the top three quarterback in the league. He's still unbelievable. But, you know, the whole reason why we were scared of Baltimore is because they had the defense to be able to keep up with their offense. But I don't think they have that team anymore to be able to hold teams to under 20. I just don't think they have the talent. I don't think schematically they're doing things well. I mean, I'd be more worried about Kansas City or the Chargers coming into here than Baltimore, I think, at this point. So I don't think it's too crazy to think like that.
Yeah, CJ, thanks for the call. I kind of like where your head's at, where, you know, now we've moved off of that week one. It, you know, it's no longer mirage. Now we're starting to see trends and where teams are at. I would also say for Baltimore, the thing that worried me about Baltimore was not always their defense. I thought the Bills could score with them. They've had struggles before week one, but I always thought they could keep up and score with them. It was Henry. But since that week one game,
it hasn't been good.
Hasn't been great. And he also keeps fumbling in rather crucial times. Now twice this year he's had a fumble in the fourth quarter leading into a massive drive for the other team. And to that point with their defense, there is no organization that has better PR. There are world leaders that have worse PR than the Baltimore Ravens have when it comes to promoting their players.
Right.
They will still wind up with like four Pro Bowlers on defense. That they are giving up a bunch of points. They are only beaten out by what has been argued a historically bad defense in the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins, the three games, have given up 97 points. Through the same amount of games, Baltimore has given up one less point, 96. They are giving up a ton of points. They're not getting off the field on third down. It is not like this historically bad pop. Like I think Miami's like 60% not getting off the field. But they're giving up a lot of passing yards. A lot of passing yards. And to CJ's point as well, David Montgomery doesn't necessarily have breakaway speed. We saw it on that 72-yard run. He should have scored, but he ran out of gas. But I think Mina Kimes tweeted out this morning, the Ravens right now, even after week one where James Cook kind of didn't get going and eventually got going for the Bills, they're still 31st in successive run plays, or in success rate, excuse me. Like, so the defense really is not good at all, especially with a lot of like the star power you do hear they have. Now that could point to once they get Van Noy back and Nnamdi Matabuke, like, you know, maybe it could all be, you know, fixed and that might absolutely be true. It could be the same kind of situation that we're seeing with Kansas City. It could also point to last year, before they moved Kyle Hamilton, they were a bad defense. And now maybe the same will be true of that more put a Band-Aid on a wound that needs serious stitches.
And that is why when I say I'm okay with the Ravens being the team that goes to 1-3, it's about the one seed. I have no respect for the Ravens division, but the Ravens are also a defense that is bad enough right now that it's going to limit them from getting to the one seed. And I would like any and all advantages.
Mm-hmm. 803-0550, the number two call. We've got primetime performers coming up at 11 o'clock. Very fun weekend in the NFL. We'll get to that again at 11 o'clock. The Sabres play again tonight at home against Columbus, pregame at 6 for a 7 p.m. puck drop. And, of course, we'll keep going on this. Which team, if any of them, are you most worried about when it comes to Baltimore, the Chiefs? Are the Chargers entering that for you? Would love to hear your thoughts as the Bills will begin their week getting ready to play the Saints tomorrow with the first injury report today, though the Bills do have off. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
From Dan Campbell, not surprised. He's got big onions. I mean, this is a bold move. Even with a first down, they cannot run out the clock because the Ravens still have all three timeouts.
Dan Campbell continues to be kind of the exact opposite you would have thought after his introductory press conference.
He's Dan Gamble.
Yeah, and you know what's fun with the Lions, too? And look, I love that the Bills also do this. The Bills go for a ton of fourth downs, the whole thing. But in part, I think the Bills can feel comfortable because when you have a unicorn at quarterback that if it's fourth and one, hey, just fall forward. He's 6'6", he might get it. I think there's a little bit more gall to do it when your quarterback is Jared Goff, when he's not a physical freak, when like you might have to get more creative. The one I, you know, just not a fourth down play, but creative play, they hand it off to Amon-Ra St. Brown. He then pitches it out to Jahmyr Gibbs for a touchdown.
Hand off to speed option.
Like that's just really cool. Or going to Goff, the key fourth down there, and I think that's the one that Troy Aikman and Joe Buck are talking about right there.
It is.
It's the gorgeous throw over the top to Amon-Ra St. Brown, which I think most people, when you saw that happen, you're like, okay, it worked. Because it's you know, all you needed is a few yards. Why are you going for the big? Well, screw it. That's why. This is what we do. It's, you know, people will talk about team identities, you know, for Baltimore and Chicago for much of their history. It's been defense. You know, Pittsburgh, defense, run the ball. I kind of love that, like, Detroit, for probably a generation, will look at Detroit and go for it on fourth. They go for it on fourth down.
I like, though, that Dan Campbell has not had an overcorrection.
No.
He loses the NFC Championship game against the 49ers by living by the sword and dying by the sword. And now in future years, he still has that sword. And whatever happens is going to happen. But that
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
As a coach that, and this is the part that makes sense from his introductory press conference, that is a coach that blindly trusts his players.
Yeah, if you're starting for his team, he trusts you implicitly.
He trusts you almost blindly. And again, the Bills have a unicorn at quarterback. With Josh Allen, all things are possible. The Lions don't have that. The Lions do, however, have a collection of talent that you can trust.
Oh, yeah.
On the overall, when it comes to the skill position and even the offensive line of the Detroit Lions, outside of quarterback, if you're to do a side-by-side comparison between the Bills and the Lions, the Bills aren't winning a lot of those on the comparison side.
No, I mean, I think the Lions have one of the best rosters in the NFL. Brad Holmes, I was talking with some listeners last night on Twitter, and it was kind of like, you look at their drafts, it's hit after hit after hit after hit.
And sometimes they are home run types.
Yeah. Brad Holmes has done an incredible job the drafts.
But the thing is that when you have such a talented roster, you can get a little more on the gambly side.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the perfect coach for it. You have a talented roster and a head coach that professes his faith in you. So what do? You respond in kind. That's a coach that trusts me. I'm going to get it done. We haven't gotten it done in years past, and he still believes in me. I need to reward that faith. I think Dan Campbell is still like the perfect coach for that team. I also don't really have much of a say in this. I don't really want Detroit anywhere near Buffalo if there's a Super Bowl.
So I remember that feeling last year. And this was even before they had played, and the Bills did a wonderful job against them.
They ended
up winning that game as well. But you know what's funny? I had that same feeling, though, in the sense of I don't want someone to lose that.
That's a tragic day for one of those teams.
Of course I'm a Bills fan. And for probably 3 months after that, if they had won, I wouldn't even give a second thought to it, right? I would just be celebrating.
Right.
But as the season would get closer, I'd be like, man, I really hope the Lions get back there. I want them to win one.
I want them to get their get back.
It's been two very tragic fan bases. One has almost tasted the pinnacle of success. Been there so many times. Again, just talking Bills, Lions. I know the Red Wings. I know the Pistons. But just talking those two specific teams. The Bills have almost been there so many times. Where the Lions, much of their lives have
been. It's a never was.
It's a never was. It's been a. The number 20 really works for us. Barry Sanders is great. Megatron's awesome. You know, well, Matthew Stafford left and immediately won a Super Bowl. But, you know, he's our guy still. Now it's finally like they're starting to live in the glory years. I think I saw something last night that Dan Campbell's now like 12-2 in primetime. And it was a Lions reporter that was like, what a stark difference this is when, if you remember, this team went like 9 years with like one primetime game. And I was like, oh my gosh. But like we were kind of also not that long ago in that same spot of, you know, every few years you get a Monday night game. It wouldn't be in Buffalo. And it was kind of like, okay, we're gonna lose. But hey, we're on prime time. Like, this is cool. Now it's – we see a 1 o'clock game where we're like, praise be. Thank you. Finally, I don't have to stay up late for this. Like, this is good.
Me on Sunday.
And so, like, it's fun with the Lions. They've really discovered their identity. They have not shied away from it. They have not course corrected. Brandon Staley of the Chargers a few years ago is that perfect example of a guy that was going for it a lot on fourth down. It failed him once. And he seemingly was like, put the kibosh on that. Never mind. I never liked it. We never even went for it. It's trying to gaslight people. Where for the Lions.
Yeah, the gaslighting was insane.
With the Lions, it was, no. Like, this is what we do. We trust our players. We're going to put you in the ground. We're going to constantly lean on you. They went for it three times yesterday on fourth down. They got all three. They were 50% conversion rate on third downs. I think at one point they were like 4 of 5 on third and 7+. I mean, like, they're a very, very fun team to watch. You're right. I kind of don't want any – I don't really want to deal with them. There's a few teams in the NFC. The Lions really might be near the top of that. I find them to be so talented. They have done everything, quote-unquote, the right way, if there really even is that. But it's because the draft has been great. They've signed back a lot of their key guys. You know, they have – the elite offensive lineman in Penei Sewell. And they've lost a lot of their offensive linemen. Frank Ragnow retires.
Right.
You know, an all-pro center. On defense, they have loaded up on the line. Aiden Hutchinson, they get him second overall, and he has been everything and more. Last year, he was on track for a near-historic year before he gets hurt. Now this year, he's right back to it. He gets the punch out on Derrick Henry. He has a sack. He's part of what I saw PFF put up 30 pressures last night, which feels fake, but neither here nor there.
That would be insane.
But to be fair, Lamar Jackson was also sacked 7 times last night. I mean, that defensive line was all over him. They played out of their skull.
Honestly, and this is the real thing about it, and I think last night helps me say this a lot more comfortably. To Bills fans that slam Lamar Jackson with the MVP discussion last year, and now it's just an annoying little bite back anytime Ravens fans do it, stop. If Lamar Jackson was not on the Baltimore Ravens, they would actually have a problem. A massive one.
I think that's true, though, for all
teams. No, but what I'm saying, though, is like, don't belittle what he's been doing either, because he has kept this team in games that they would have no business being in. Over the past several years, Jackson has upped his game the same way that Josh Allen has. And it's perfectly fine to recognize that. Oh, he stat-pad Lamar Jackson in the fourth quarter last night. No, no, no. You can't go ahead and give credit to Josh Allen for doing what he did in 4 minutes and then go ahead and call Jackson a stat-padder for trying to do the same in less than 2. You can't do it. You can't have it on both ends there. You can't have your cake and eat it too. That's just not how it works. I need to make that a public service announcement. If a team is trying to frantically come back in a game, I'm not calling it stat padding because the running back fumbled the football again for the third straight game.
Yeah, that is something that's growing for Henry. And even back to CJ's call in the last segment too, you wonder as well, eventually father time wins, right? Like, that's kind of
correct.
Everyone knows that in life, especially in sports. You wonder if you did have to play this team in January, is it the same Derrick Henry? Or has it been fixed? And then you also look at the Bills' defense as well. They'll be entirely different. Trey White will be playing that game probably as long as he doesn't get hurt. Max Harrison, Hoyt, Ogunjobi, you know, TJ Sanders, who's struggled a little bit for the Bills' defense so far, can kind of take a second here, and Larry Ogunjobi can go in. That maybe wasn't thought to be a potential problem for the Bills. It kind of has been. Sanders has not been what Deion Walker is. So maybe that is an entirely different matchup if it happens come January, to CJ's point of maybe would want to play him. They can go up against that defense, really, no problem.
But now you also mentioned, though, like, Father Time catches up with everybody. There was a caller a couple weeks ago on this very show that had made mention, is Derrick Henry the same Derrick Henry at the end of the season, for example, though? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's a full season. He's probably gotten a lot of carries, everything like that. And it just reminded me of that call where, yeah, everyone's beat up. Everyone's got something. Nobody's 100% at the end of the year. Can you just break through? And Baltimore really does have this, the way I'll say it, framed a lot in the ways that you say it. They have a better PR team then sometimes even their football team is on the field. We've got guys getting all-pro votes on an offensive line that gave up 7 sacks yesterday.
Yeah, I just
they've got defensive players getting all pros.
I don't like to bring it up a lot. It really does infuriate me because it's just in all seriousness, and I'd see people comment all the time, like, yeah, you'll turn on probably some of the shouty shows and they'll still tell you how talented Baltimore is because of what everyone thought before the season started. Because you hear how much, oh, Marlon Humphrey's so great and this guy's so amazing. And then you're like, oh, well, their defense, though, is like 25th in the league. So like, how talented are they really?
Right.
It was the same thing last year. Until they moved Kyle Hamilton, they were a bad pass defense.
And you said it, like, maybe it was a Band-Aid on a chest bleed. It's looking more the same. So congratulations again to the Baltimore Ravens for having a great PR team. It just gets to a point where, like, no, Baltimore's the Bengals this year. They have to. Jackson and the offense have to do everything that they can to stop the bleeding because the defense is second last in points per game to the Dolphins.
I mean, we haven't even mentioned either. Two of the Lions' scoring drives were 90-plus yards.
98.
Yeah, I mean,
on the one that makes it 14-7. 98-yard touchdown drive.
They're driving the entire field, taking up 10 minutes. I mean, what was it? Lamar's third drive of the game was with like 5 minutes left in the second quarter. They were killing the clock. Great job by the Lions all around last night. 803-0550, the number to call. Which team, if any of them, are you most worried about so far in the AFC, especially with Baltimore and KC playing each other this Sunday, 4:25? Should be awesome. Bills will be taking on the New Orleans Saints a little bit before that at 1 p.m. at Highmark Stadium. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
For Town Automotive X Point Show, this is WGR. Hour number one rolls along here on a Tuesday. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach Jones and Eric Kramer. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Very fun Monday night football last night between the Baltimore Ravens and the Detroit Lions. The Lions ultimately get that 38-30 win in Baltimore. So very, very good game for them. And it now sets up next Sunday, or well, this upcoming Sunday now, as a really crucial matchup between the Baltimore Ravens and Kansas City Chiefs. Both teams sit at 1-2, and neither look very good. You can argue Baltimore has looked better with their win over Cleveland and even how well they looked for 95% of the game against Buffalo. Kansas City, I think you can argue the exact opposite. They've looked pretty bad throughout.
And that has been something that they did all throughout last year, but the difference was they've already lost as many games as they did all last year. So now the magic's not there.
Course correction.
They've lost games to open the year when they looked subpar. And now it's the same thing. You look subpar, you're finally losing these games. Last year, they looked bad and just kept winning. Frustratingly so. Who's the one team that punches them in the mouth when it counts? The Bills.
Yeah. Just crazy how that season's like you mentioned it, and I hadn't thought about it, but they already have the same amount of losses they had.
It does upset me that the Chiefs keep getting away with looking awful, and then they play the Bills, and it's just like,
only turn it on. Although that may not be the case this year. Things change, dynasties fall, and they have through 3 weeks. They're 1-2. They did beat the Giants,
and we're gonna put.
Boy, they did not look good.
And I want to put a pin in that because there's something I want to bring up about Buffalo and Kansas City and why I still want that as the matchup in the playoffs.
Real quick, though, before we hit our next timeout, let's go back to the phones. Jerry is with us next. Jerry, how are we doing this morning?
You know, as a Red Sox fan, one of the things that I would like to do is, I think our 2004 made it better that we went through the Yankees to get
there.
I think going through the Chiefs would make us feel a lot better about it. How many times would you hear the Chiefs, if we won the Super Bowl this year, quacking, well, you didn't have us to contend with. You know, it's, that's the way fan bases are. And I'll tell you the play last night that really bothers me about Lamar Jackson. The fourth and goal, the one thing you can't take is a 23-yard sack. Even if you throw it away, you give it to them at their 4-yard line. You can't do what you did.
I mean, straight up, Jerry, like, you're 100% correct. Like, that's the one...
Thinking back on that?
That's the one thing you can't do.
Knowing you're in such trouble, thinking back on that, dart it at a Lions player's foot that's jumping in the air. Because that's not intentional grounding, that's pass deflection.
It was just... I remember watching that, selfishly. I had Lamar in fantasy. So I was rooting for two things. I was rooting for a Lions win, but, Lamar to have a great day. And I was so... kind of like awestruck by like that whole sequence, because even when the Lions get the ball back, they kind of botch the end of the half. It's three straight passes, take basically no time off the clock, and ultimately Baltimore is able to get the ball back, and it's 14-14, and there's even a feeling they might be down 21-14.
They got away with it almost.
Yeah, but at the time, and this is kind of true throughout the night, I think to Jerry's point as well of like where this was going, where Lamar took some really bad sacks. I thought there was a number of points too. I'm sitting there rooting for the Lions, but ultimately getting angry of, Lamar, go! Just go! And he would wait just that little bit too long to where there would be one or two Lions defenders. They're able to get a hand on his leg or his foot and just slow him up a little bit for that second guy to wrap up. You know, even if it's just a 2-3 yard gain, when ultimately I'm like, if he would have just said, screw it, I'm going. I got to get a first down, go. It would be better for him. And I think that's ultimately how he gets to those 7 sacks is just, it did feel like there was a little bit of like apprehension for Lamar to just screw it, I'm going.
And this is the second straight week, though, that the Ravens have a frustrating goal line sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Browns, when the game is still relatively tight, they don't run it with Derrick Henry at all. And it gets to fourth and goal. And Lamar Jackson has to scramble around and then eventually find somebody in the back of an end zone to then start putting Cleveland away. The Ravens coaching, man.
It does leave a lot to be desired. For as good of an organization as they are, you also have to wonder, Zach Orr, defensive coordinator, how much longer can you keep going with that?
Yeah, it's looking untenable right now.
803-0550, the number to call. I do want to bring up something Jerry brought up there, too, the Boston Red Sox. It's a documentary on Netflix that I watched, and I really got into this offseason. And it was a lot to Bills, Chiefs, Red Sox, Yankees that I'd love to bring up if we have time today. But coming up after a quick timeout, it is Tuesday, following the week in the NFL. So we'll get to our top five primetime performers at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show rolls along here. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. Today's show, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Off day, of course, for the Bills. It is a normal Tuesday for them. Wednesday, tomorrow, they will get back to work. First injury reports of the week and such as they get ready to host the winless New Orleans Saints. A New Orleans team, by the way, Bills are favored by 16.5 points. And before we do get to our 11 a.m. Tuesday segment, top five primetime performers, that game, I debated, Derek, checking in on it. Let's see a little bit. It's going to be the Bills' opponent, and the Bills aren't playing right now. I might want to do, you know, a little bit of homework, see what they're at. By the time I had decided maybe I do want to do that, it was 21-0 Seattle. And I was like, no, I'm good. I think I'm all right.
I think I did my homework.
I did my homework.
It's not good.
It ended 44-13.
Yeah, 38 points in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
It was – the Saints had been punchy for two games, and then they looked like the team that everyone's worried about.
And you're right to like say like they look punchy. I mean, 20-13 loss to Arizona, 26-21 loss to San Francisco, and it really – it's week three. This also could be a mirage. They had some special teams touchdowns against them and such, but it also felt a little bit like the floor kind of came under them. Like you mentioned, 38 points against in the first half.
Yeah.
Just not a good day at the office at all. That is the Bills' next opponent, as I mentioned, 0-3. But without further ado, it was a fun week in the NFL. So we'll have our top five primetime performers between myself, Zach Jones, and Derek Kramer. And as we like to do, we'll start off with some honorable mentions. It was not the fireworks show that last week was with the wide receivers and 150 yards and all that stuff, but it was still a damn good week. My first honorable mention, though, credit where credit is due. Caleb Williams, quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Just an honorable mention because he did do it against Dallas. But, man, he was slinging the rock all over Soldier Field. It's the first time that's ever happened in Chicago that a quarterback was slinging the rock around the field. 298 and four touchdowns, including a gorgeous flea flicker that DeAndre Swift lobbed the ball up back to Caleb Williams, launches it 60 yards to Luther Burden, albeit, again, it was against the Dallas defense. That seems to be like the get-right game for most offenses they play.
Honorable mention, by the way, I'm going to do something a little off-script here, Zach.
Change it up.
I'm going to college football.
Oh, very nice. Who do we got?
I've got the Syracuse Orange.
Oh.
With a massive put-em-down win against Clemson. Going into Death Valley, swinging, and getting through it. 3-1 now. 1-0 in the ACC with their first conference win. It did come at a heavy cost, though.
I'm glad you did this because I thought about this. I couldn't because Angeli does get hurt.
Angeli does get hurt. He's out for the year. He had a great game until the injury, too. He was 18-31, 244 yards and two touchdowns. So I do have to manage to say it. Like, yeah, it is. It's a bitter taste in the mouth. That's why it's an honorable mention sort of thing. But, you know, we got a couple Syracuse alum that work here. I figure that Jeremy and Sal would appreciate giving the Syracuse Orange some flowers because of what was a great win for them.
On the road at Death Valley, I will say, though, Clemson came in with some serious national championship-type hype.
Oh, those are gone.
1-3 losses to LSU,
dead.
Georgia Tech, and now Syracuse. Two of those losses coming at home, LSU and Syracuse. Cade Klubnik also went from a quarterback I was really curious about this year. He might be a fun seventh-round project for the Bills that I'll get excited about.
There we go.
He has been tough this year.
Clemson this year, it's cadaverific at this point. Yep. Their championship hopes.
Honorable mention number two. I've already mentioned the Seattle and New Orleans game.
Mm-hmm.
And Torrey Horton Jr., or I think just Torrey Horton. Yeah, not Jr.
Yep.
Torrey Horton, wide receiver, rookie for them. both a punt return touchdown and a receiving touchdown, and then the punt return, 98 yards, a new Seattle Seahawks record. So good for him, although I think he only had like 35 yards receiving, one of them being the touchdown, so honorable mention for him.
Now, these last two honorable mentions are going to be from the same game.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots defense is going to get some flowers here for me. Why? You allowed 14 points on 5 turnovers. That is desperately keeping a team in a football game. That is... I know it says more about Pittsburgh than New England, mm-hmm. but hey, I got to give credit where credit's due. The New England defense forces Pittsburgh to punt on multiple occasions. It takes turnover number 5 to where they finally yield another touchdown. Because at some point it is, you gave up 7 points on 4 turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. And then, of course, turnover 5 happens. And, yeah, it's too late at that point. And just to wrap up my honorable mentions in the same game, yeah, the Steelers defense. They forced 5 turnovers.
Right. Boy, that was an ugly game. I was able to sit a lot
with that one.
It's
an affront to American football, yeah. But hey, you know what? You forced 5 turnovers. The Steelers' defense has been wholly unimpressive in terms of yards allowed per game. They're actually 5th worst for being the highest paid defense in the NFL. But hey, 5 turnovers is 5 turnovers. You cannot deny that.
Yeah. And then my final honorable mention is Eagles wide receiver A.J. Brown. They finally were able to get him going. 6 for 109 and a touchdown. He was crucial in their comeback attempt there. It really felt like the Eagles at halftime just decided, screw it, we're throwing the ball and we're going to throw it, namely to number 11. He is such a physical presence. It does boggle the mind that that's not like plan B after Saquon Barkley. And one of those where let's quickly shift to throw the ball to A.J. Brown if like immediately Saquon's not working. He is such a force.
Yeah, it is one of those things where just do the easy thing. Just do the easy thing, actually. Just don't overthink it. Do the easy thing. Stop trying to outsmart everybody.
Yep. Now going to our top 5. Derek, you want to start off with number 5?
It's another unit. I've yet to do a player in this segment.
Mm-hmm.
It's the field goal blocks from Cleveland, New York, and Philadelphia.
Man.
2 from the Eagles, by the way, including a game winner that gets returned to the house ultimately. But we get the dance from Aaron Glenn. We get the win from Cleveland against Green Bay. And then Philadelphia doubles up to get a win against the Rams.
The witching hour Sunday at around 4 was incredible.
If you were a kicker... Fun. If you were a kicker in the witching hour, you became nauseous.
Yeah, you were in hell. You were in hell.
If you were a kicker that was, like, say Tyler Bass is just flipping through his TV on a Sunday and he sees all that happen and goes, thank goodness I'm not on right now.
Yeah, thank goodness for me.
I'm cool. Like, Matt Prater, probably the same thing. Like, hey, man, I played Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Number 5 for me, Colts running back Jonathan Taylor. The Colts continue to be a really, really fun offensive football team. I think Shane Steichen is proving he's got it. I also think this maybe points more towards of how much Anthony Richardson does not have it.
Right. But
specifically for running back Jonathan Taylor, 102 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. Another really big win for them as well. So good on them and for Taylor as well, who sometimes it seems like gets a little bit forgotten in the best running backs in the NFL, partially due to injuries and stuff like that, but he's still up there. It's number 5 for me, Jonathan Taylor.
We'll stay with the running backs heading into number 4 here. David Montgomery with Detroit. Oh. That 70-yarder that he gets caught on, but also totals the day, 12 carries, 151 yards, and 2 touchdowns, including the game that effectively ices it. And it turns into a frantic comeback attempt with just not enough time for the Ravens to get it going. Montgomery ices the game with a beautiful run to the offensive right. Toe taps on the sideline. Anytime you could put it away, that's a primetime performance right there.
And for a little while there for Detroit, it felt like they couldn't get the run game going until Montgomery started to in the second quarter, and then it continued on. I mean, he has the 70-plus yard rush. He has the game-clinching run. He has a few other big ones as well. Great game for him. That was so much fun. David Montgomery is one of my favorite players in the NFL. There's a lot in his personal life as well that's big there. But him and Gibbs together, a ball to watch. Number 4 for me, sticking with that game, I am going with my first unit. It's the Lions defensive line.
Okay.
7 sacks, tied most against Jackson in his career. I think the most since 2022. And they also held Henry to just 50 yards rushing. And also, if you go to PFF, they have 30 pressures. It's just an unbelievable performance from them. I know some of those are, of course, going to be on Jackson. Sacks a lot of times can be a quarterback stat. But even still, to hold then Henry to under 50 yards or at 50 yards exactly rushing in a close game where they could have kept going to Henry. They kind of had to move away from it. They just were not able to get that going. They get Jackson on the ground. A wonderful performance by the defense as a whole, but I decided to key in on the defensive line here for number
And the
four.
Defensive line also forces the fumble on Henry as well.
Aiden Hutchinson, yep.
Number three for me. This person has had a lot of pressure after his first 2 weeks and all of his rookie season. What's a great cure for an ailing quarterback in terms of statistical wonders? The Dallas Cowboys defense coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is going to Caleb Williams. 19 of 28, 298 yards, 4 touchdowns against Dallas. And first of all, the Cowboys are a problem because this is the second straight week that we have a guy on the primetime performers list that faced the Cowboys secondary.
Yep.
But take advantage of the matchups when you got them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Bills are apologizing for where they're at, sitting at 3-0 right now. And I don't think Caleb Williams should apologize for facing the Cowboys secondary.
He has also, by the way, started to look better. I mean, like, that was a great performance for him, but from week one on, he's been progressively looking better, so good for him as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on him right now, so it's good to see that he's showing up and taking advantage of a bad matchup when he has a chance to.
Number three for me, I always kind of like the random player that just pops off for a week. We'll get to that more at number one, but for number three, Raiders wide receiver Trey Tucker.
I thought about him here.
In a loss, I mean, the Raiders, after their win against New England, have not looked particularly good at all.
No.
But you got to tip your hat to this. 8 for 145 and 3 touchdowns. I mean, giddy up. Again, it's a loss. And I think, yeah, Geno only throws 3 touchdowns, but that's a great overall performance. And we all know how I feel about wide receivers. You do that, you're getting put on the list.
No, well, honestly enough, I don't have him on here. I thought about it, but I'm like, yeah, no, it does look like it's a little bit more of a irrelevancy at that point because mm-hmm. of how they lost that game, how yep. badly they lost that game.
I love a random player popping off.
That is true.
And you put it as a wide receiver, phenomenal. Yeah, I mean, you got me. You got me.
All right, this one could start a little bit of fights. Number two, Jalen Hurts. That comeback attempt has to happen because they have to open the football up throwing. They have to get things going. You have A.J. Brown on your list, for example. I have mm-hmm. Hurts, though, yep. because you have to get the football out. You have to get to these players. And you got to respect it. A comeback attempt is a comeback attempt. And if you're able to statistically look good while also leading the team down the field and leading the charge for the win, yes, you got some help with the special teams. You still got to put the points up on the board at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to get Jalen Hurts there. 226, 3 touchdowns, as well as a, once again, frustrating tush push. Please ban that play next year. It's just bad to look at. That's all I care about is the aesthetics at this point. And Jalen Hurts, though, number two on the primetime players list here.
I'm going more to that special teams bit for the game for number two for me. It's Eagles D-tackle Jordan Davis.
Yes.
He's a part of both of the blocked field goals, definitively part of the last one where he both blocks it and returns it for a touchdown. He also has 5 total tackles and a sack. Just overall incredible performance by him. And, of course, one of the main characters of what was ultimately a crazy last about 5-10 minutes of those 1 o'clock games. So for number two for me, Eagles defensive tackle Jordan Davis.
And I think we know what number one is. And I would imagine that when I say this, it is going to be the top on your list too. I also know this because I called you this morning and you were still tallying down the stat line of Isaiah Rodgers.
Yeah, just an unbelievable performance by him. I mean, in a few of these blowouts, some of the special teams as well, Layden. Rodgers kind of beat Cincinnati by himself with a pick six, a fumble return for a touchdown. He forces another fumble. He also has a pass breakup. He has the highest PFF grade ever, you know, registered, if you care about that, at 99.9. Just unbelievable performance.
He does outscore the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, okay.
By himself.
I wanted to do math, and I completely forgot to, but yeah.
So. I looked at it. I'm just like, wait a minute. They didn't score a lot of points. As long as it's less than 12, then yeah, Isaiah Rodgers does outscore the entirety of the Cincinnati Bengals by himself. It is a great day to see when you have one return touchdown. It is a great day when you have 2 forced fumbles in a game. Joey mm-hmm. Bosa was on this list earlier. It's a great day when you have an interception and a fumble recovery. It is a wacky day to add another touchdown onto that and have all of those things.
Yeah, I mean, just an overall incredible performance. Oh, I think if we look back
and let's just pepper in the two more pass deflections mm-hmm. and three tackles just because
yep.
he was bored that day.
Yeah, apparently. I think we're going to look back if we want to at like the end of the year, like, okay, who were the top five of the number one performances? It's going to be really hard to top that.
Isaiah Rodgers.
Very hard.
Again, to have a return touchdown
mm-hmm.
is incredible on a turnover. To have two of them is unreal. To then add two forced fumbles in there is just hilariously otherworldly.
Yeah, so unsurprisingly for both of us, at number one is Viking corner Isaiah Rodgers. Just an absolutely incredible performance by him. And that is our week three edition of our top five primetime performers. We'll put that out on social media here in just a little bit if you want to check that out as well.
Am I a sicko for thinking about adding Konsta Hilenius' goal from last night? Yes.
Yes. But good goal. Very good goal.
Very good goal.
I want to talk a little bit about the Sabres here in a minute, but I don't want to forget to bring this up because it won't be too long. But our caller in the last segment, Jerry.
Yeah, let's pull the pin out of something I wanted to say.
He brought up the Boston Red Sox winning in 04, right? He's mm-hmm. a Red Sox fan, and that's a historic moment like in sports, not just baseball, them coming back in the ALCS down 3-0, and the arms race that went on previously to that. There's a plethora of documentaries on that series alone, let alone the rivalry between those teams. But I watched one on Netflix this year, and it really got – and it was in the offseason when I was watching it, but it really got me going on not really just necessarily wanting to see the Bills take down the Chiefs, but more in the sense of this is kind of just how sports is. You have that top dog. You have the little pup chasing them, nipping at their tail, what have you. And eventually that pup grows, and eventually they get theirs. Usually. Not always, but usually. You can go back to Jordan with the Pistons, how they used to bully the hell out of the Chicago Bulls
right.
until Jordan worked out, he got stronger, what have you, and eventually he gives the Pistons their swan song, where they eventually, because they're the Detroit Pistons of the bad boy era, you know, they leave the bench early, the whole thing, and it's a pretty disgraceful way for them to go out, but that's kind of their MO, so it kind of works for them.
Right.
You know, and then Jordan kind of ascends. I mentioned with baseball, with Boston and New York, it's not really just 04. Boston ends up winning, what, three more World Series after they do that, or three total after they do that. It's a big moment for them. For the Chiefs, they don't necessarily have that moment. They don't beat the Patriots to get there, but they do play them before it happens, and eventually the Patriots go away and they take over. You also look at football as well, as I've mentioned. The Dallas Cowboy documentary that I watched recently that came out, they made sure to go through San Francisco and Dallas towards the end of that documentary, where San Francisco eventually did take out Dallas, and they kept meeting in the playoffs, and that kept being a thing, and eventually they got through, and they were eventually able to go on and beat the San Diego Chargers like 90-0, whatever it was. That was barely a Super Bowl.
Right.
But like that happens throughout sports, that you have this team that is nipping at the heels trying to Soccer is big in America now, especially the English Premier League. Liverpool with Man City. They kind of kept finishing second or third to them, and it was just not – and they finally get past them. And now they look like to be the dominant force, with Arsenal maybe nipping at their heels. It's just how kind of sports works. And maybe we're entering that phase now with the Chiefs. They've had their run. They've won their championships. I wonder, though, with how the season has started, Derek, was your chance last year to put the dagger in the heart, and that this year is sort of the slow decline of, they're not the same, and they're going to have to restart and retool, and you're going to see some retirements, and it's not going to be the same group you went up against.
And welcome back to what I wanted to put a pin in. Here it comes out of there. What Jerry said was perfect in that last hour, and again is why I want the Bills to be that team. I don't want to give the Eagles the satisfaction of being the ones to take the Chiefs down and especially like make them have to rebuild on the fly. I want it to be the Bills, which is why I need the Chiefs to win against Baltimore in week four. The Chiefs at 1-3 is a lot more detrimental to me in this revenge
than the Ravens sitting there at 1-3.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens at 1-3 still very realistically win their division. The Chiefs at 1-3 can run the risk of falling out of the playoffs entirely. They face the Lions in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then they face the Bills in the regular season, which that apparently hasn't been good for them.
Mm-hmm.
But now you look at it, and maybe I can have my cake and eat it too. Jerry does mention in that call, oh, you didn't have to play the Chiefs. What if the Chiefs start so poorly in a regular season that the Bills win in the regular season?
And that's the only matchup.
And it puts the Chiefs out of the playoffs entirely. Revenge can be had in a multitude of ways. But then that just looks like, oh, the Chiefs just suddenly collapsed.
Right.
Yeah. Well, guess who helped put them there?
No, and I think you're right, too, in that sense of, like, then all of a sudden that meeting has that much more weight, maybe not necessarily for the Bills, but for the Chiefs, of trying to keep the season alive, trying to keep it going.
But even for the Bills, mm-hmm. of, oh, no, you don't.
Yeah. You're not going to get your season off to a run here.
You're not waking up suddenly and going on a run because you beat us in the regular season. No. We're not letting this happen. It could be slamming the door on their face.
Mm-hmm. And so on that, because that was sort of the tweet of today of, with both Baltimore and Kansas City at 1-2 playing each other this Sunday, which team are you more worried about, you know, at this time thinking about January? We've got some tweets here to read. Juice tweets in, Chiefs, simple, because of history. And I can understand that one of just, I don't want to play them. They seem to have a problem with them. Maybe that's their bugaboo. And I think for some people as well, they maybe don't want to have that question answered. That the Chiefs team could be just as bad as last year, but whenever you play them, they seem to get up for the occasion, and you seem to be second fiddle to that. That absolutely could be a thing for a lot of fans. And I think I partially sit there, too, of like, I'd be cool to just avoid, if this is really how it's going to go, cool. I would prefer playing them over Baltimore in terms of just pure matchups. But likewise, I think Baltimore fans could even say, I don't really want to play Buffalo. We seem to have bad games against them. It doesn't seem to go well because of history.
And
Baltimore and Lamar are 0-2 against the Bills in this run here.
And I still always look at it as eventually the other shoe drops. And that rings true for both Baltimore and Kansas City.
Mm.
With Buffalo, when it comes to Kansas City, that shoe dropping is the vengeance. With Baltimore, it turns into you're suddenly on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
If the other shoe drops. I also would like for another answer in this. And that is, if I have to see the Chiefs in the playoffs, it's a tough conversation to have at that point, but does the coaching staff have a Chiefs problem?
And it's what I mean, like the answer.
And it's kind
I,
of
I think
one,
people maybe don't want to know the
people
answer.
People don't want to know the answer. I'm curious.
Mm-hmm. Jam tweets in, I'd rather have the Chiefs win, considering their division is tougher, of course, with the Chargers being 3-0. Denver is a very good team. They seem to be finding ways to lose, though, to start the year. And Baltimore can make it up with the bleep show over in the AFC North. I think that's absolutely right.
And that's exactly the thoughts of, that's about designs for the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
The one way that the Bills have not navigated through the playoffs yet is through that. We've seen the Chiefs do it, obviously. We've seen the Ravens do it and fail. It's the one route that the Bills have yet to take. If they fail with that route, then yeah, we've just got a problem. But I would sure like to test it.
Yep. And then finally, before we take our next time out, Chris tweets in, right now the Bills are 2 games up on the Chiefs and 2.5 on the Ravens. So I think the edge would go to Baltimore, but it's pretty much a coin toss. And that's kind of why I did want to put that out there, is because I think there is a group of fans out there that won't want to play the Chiefs because of history. And then there'll be another group of fans that don't want to play Baltimore because you look at Derrick Henry in the matchup and go, hell no. But one of them likely will be 1-3 at this time next week. And we're having probably at that point entirely different conversations about where their seasons are going, especially when it comes to Buffalo and January. 803-0550, the number to call. The Sabres do play tonight. It is a back-to-back in the preseason. They got that underway last night, a 4-0 win at Columbus. They play Columbus again tonight, this time at home, pregame at 6 for a 7 p.m. puck drop. We'll talk a little about them when we come back. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. If you missed it, we did just do our top five primetime performers for week three. That's up at social media at WGR550 over on Twitter. If you want to check that out, you can also, of course, listen back to that segment on the Odyssey app or on our website, WGR550.com. We have not talked about them too much, but Sabres preseason got underway yesterday at Columbus. A nice 4-0 win. A lot of it felt like it was more leaning towards Rochester Americans with some Buffalo Sabres sprinkled in.
Yeah, it was. There's a couple of lines worth of NHL talent in there. Typically, actually, if you look back on it, the D pairings.
Mm-hmm.
Byram plays. First round pick Radim Mirka plays with Byram. But the power Kesselring pair is there. The Kesselring power pairing. There we go.
Nailed it.
I can talk.
Nailed it.
But there's also a line of Kulik with Doan and Quinn. That group, ultimately, there is a empty net goal in there. Hellenius plays with Anton Wahlberg as well, and I really liked that one. Of Hellenius, by the way, looked good. And it's no surprise that he is now getting a back-to-back game because of that. Maybe there can be some fun had with the Buffalo Sabres. Look, the season is what the season is, and preseason hockey is still mostly about the same thing as it is in preseason football, which is a relatively low count on your injury report, players being healthy, and no big injuries. Have I mentioned injuries? For the Sabres, though, it could mean a little bit more. Last preseason, they looked good on the record because the NHL club's already in Europe after two games. And they don't get to play any other NHL talent.
No, that's good to bring up, that it's a lot of their prospects that are playing the actual preseason games here.
And now, though, the Sabres are going to trot out a mostly NHL roster tonight. Tage is in, Dahlin's in. And what's Columbus doing? AHL squad. Cool.
That's fine.
I love getting the same exercise in futility.
I'll take it.
But the Buffalo Sabres being back is also going to say something else here. You know, we'll write what we have to write, but there is a similar message between the Sabres and the Bills right now. It is in vastly different contexts, but there's a similar message. Breakthrough. For the Bills, that means break through the AFC and make the Super Bowl. For the Sabres, breakthrough just means make the playoffs.
Yeah, we're not even asking you to make a cup run, even a conference final run. That's not really, I think that's 90 to 95% of the fan base. It's like, I don't care if we get swept in the first round. I just want to feel that again.
And that is the objective this year. Hell, or at the very least, it should sound like this. Hell or high water, make the playoffs. Obviously, Luukkonen's dealing with an injury. I don't know what's going to end up happening with this team. And the preseason is not going to give us any sort of fair evaluation at all, seeing as how we're getting a mostly NHL-laden roster tonight, and Columbus isn't trotting anyone out there.
No, so I think it's just going to be more like, do they look smooth? You know, I don't even necessarily need to see if they're trying. I'd like to see a little bit more from the power play. And that's purely just off of PTSD of I'd like to see more puck movement. I'd like to see it look like an NHL power play.
I've got bad news from yesterday then.
Well, see, now why'd you have to ruin a good thing? tonight, you are also going to see Alex Lyon at goal. I think it's going to be done the exact same way as yesterday.
Two periods of Lyon, yeah. One period of Levi.
So, I mean, we'll see on that. I did hear Sneaky Joe's take on Lyon that he might be their best goalie since, I think, Allmark, he said. Which, I mean, we'll see. That's a thing, too. I mean, as bad as their special teams have been, namely penalty kill and power play, if they just got competent goaltending over like the last like 3 years, I mean, we've said this to death. This is not anything new. But if they got any competent goaltending, they've probably fallen into the playoffs. The rot of the problem is still there, of course. Like they need to change, I think, a lot, even if they make the playoffs. It becomes easier, though, to change things if you have some semblance of credibility. I will always say that. If you have any credibility, it becomes much easier to change things. Look at the Bills. They fall into the playoffs in 2017.
Right.
But when they did that, it did change the temperature in the room. It changed how things were done. They miss in 2018, but by 2019, in the second year of Josh Allen, who hadn't fully ascended yet, they're on Thanksgiving. They're 8-3 in that game. They're in the playoffs again. And then from then on, it's been, you know, they're one of the stars of the league. The Sabres could be the same thing. If you just fall into the playoffs, yeah, but then a hockey-crazed city is excited again, and people aren't having you on your no-trade list. They're, you know, they're willing to come here in free agency without you spending an arm and a leg to get them, you know, what have you. They don't need to fix everything in 1 year. Ultimately, they won't. But you do need to see, I think, this group breakthrough, like as you mentioned, and really it's just getting in. I'm excited to see what a guy like Josh Norris looks like this year, mainly because last year we really did. What did he play? Three games? Two. Great. So you really never got to see him. But he's the big piece you got in the Dylan Cousins trade. For some, including myself, the big piece of that was just getting him off the roster. But Norris has all the talent in the world if he can stay healthy. You have Thompson. Zach Benson, we'll see what, you know, the next step is for him. There is talent on the roster to maybe make the playoffs. I think for me, and I've talked with Joe Calley off air on this, Derek, I've talked to you off air on this as well, it's got to be starting fast. It's got, and I'm not saying you got to be first in the Atlantic come, you know, October 30th. That's not it. But what I am saying is you can't be out of it by Thanksgiving.
Already they did that too once and it still didn't work. Anyway.
Right. They've done pretty much everything in this run. The opposite of the Bills. They've tried almost everything and it failed.
So the big thing though when it comes to the Sabres and what has to happen here, there is a point of contention. You know, I'd imagine like if I say the name Kevin Adams to people within the fan base at this point, I'm going to be met with choice words. All can be forgiven. If you make the playoffs, it is quite simply that. All can be forgiven. And it happens every year where there's a team that has no business making it, goes on a run and makes the playoffs anyway. Last year, that was the Montreal Canadiens. And I would like to hope that they don't stay ahead of the Sabres here. They make a trade for Noah Dobson. It makes you feel a little irritated that Montreal recognizes this and goes, okay, we need to add. But that doesn't guarantee, for example, though, that Montreal stays ahead of you. You, however, can be forgiven. And is it wrong of me to think right now that the most realistic chance that the Sabres have has more to do with every year some team makes it for no reason?
No, I think that's appropriate to have.
The Atlantic is stacked.
Yeah.
It is very top heavy with those three teams. Florida, Tampa, Toronto are not going anywhere. Even with Toronto losing Mitch Marner. First of all, they managed to get something out of it. Good for them.
Yeah.
They get a sign and trade for Marner instead of just losing him outright. But those three spots are spoken for. You have to win a wild card. You have to be better than the Metro. And the rest of your division. Because even if one team in the Atlantic is better than you, you are running the risk.
Yeah.
That's the part that's going to be tough. It's a weird setup that you are automatically fighting for three spots or for one of two spots. But considering what the division looks like anyway, and how the playoff seeding would unfold. Again, those three spots are spoken for regardless. And in the Atlantic, or in the Metro, excuse me, there are three teams good enough to have those that would be playoff teams in their own right anyway if it was 1-8. You just need to be above average. I am not kidding. Above average. Because average is eighth. Be above average. But the most important message, and it is similar with the Bills, just break through. It is the duality And yet, the similarity between the Sabres and the Bills.
It's fun how different it is, though.
That's the unique thing. It is a duality of franchise.
But ultimately, it's kind of the same message.
And yet the same message is singular. Breakthrough.
803-0550, the number to call. Want to give your thoughts on this. The Sabres do play their second preseason game of the year tonight. It's hosting Columbus this time, where last night they were at Columbus. Pregame at 6 with Shobin the Bulldog, 7 p.m. puck drop. Game will be right here on WGR. Let's go to the phones. Dennis is up next. Dennis, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I like the duality conversation because just like Josh Allen came in to save the Buffalo Bills, I think we need a goaltender for the Sabres to do the same thing. The last three times we've been successful, the three times during my lifetime we've been successful, you know, we had Tom Barrasso, we had Grant Fuhr, we had Dominic Hasek, and we had Ryan Miller. And those were the days where we were in the playoffs every year. And, you know, Stanley Cup opportunities and everything along those lines. I mean, we went to the Stanley Cup with Stu Barnes as our captain. Mm-hmm. So goaltending is definitely where it's at. Bad news Bears is I don't think we have that goaltending just yet. I know that, you know, we're hoping on a prayer about Levi. So, you know, we definitely have to play out of our minds just to make the playoffs if we don't have that goaltending help. But I do have, you know, I do enjoy what we have as a young team. And I think if we do get that goaltending support behind it, making the playoffs, not only this year, but for future years is definitely going to be a big possibility. The only downfall is, like you just said, the East is good, you know, like, and I don't know if that's just because we're so bad and we're not used to seeing good teams, but there's a lot of good teams in the East. So like, you're going to have to work hard to get into the playoffs just, you know, in the first place.
Yeah, Dennis, thanks for the call. And that's the thing, too. The Atlantic, especially for, like, the last 10, 12 years, has just been, it's like the same, like, six group. They just kind of go into rotation.
Boston finally fell off.
Yeah.
The only problem was the Sabres were dead by December.
Yep. And then on goaltending, I mean, yeah. The problem is the one time the Sabres in, like, the last 5 years got good goaltending, especially Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, they couldn't score. Like, it is such a wild circumstance, turn of events, whatever, however you want to put it, that just when they finally got good goaltending, they can't score. And that miraculously comes after the year where they couldn't stop a puck to save their lives, but they scored like the wind, and everyone thought they were cool and fun.
And then all of a sudden.
Yeah. It's just they have had also some bad luck. I'm not going to really exonerate them for much of this, but there also has been bad luck where you're like, seriously, that didn't carry over?
Right.
You know, it is what it is. And but the worst part is
neither thing carried over.
No.
From those 3 years.
No.
The scoring with bad goaltending. Then there's goaltending with no scoring. And then last year, you kind of get neither.
Mm-hmm. They were kind of just a team. That's the worst part. They were kind of just a team. They were just really bad at special teams. Like, that was the most, like, clear thing about them.
Oh, yeah.
And that, too. I mean, if you're going to be bad in the power play and the penalty kill, which, if you look at Lindy Ruff's career, he typically does not have the greatest power play in the world. You need to have good goaltending, like Dennis said. And even then, too, just as a team overall, making the playoffs, even with a less-than-stellar roster, goaltending saves you. And they just have not had that in a long time.
In a long time.
803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. We'll be right back. Wrap things up for today on a Tuesday. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on a Tuesday. Hour number two wrapping up here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We've also had fun getting connected to our fans today. That is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com.
I was going to end this hour and this show with something, but now I need to end it with something else.
I saw you pointing. I was like, oh, no.
Angrily.
Did an injury happen?
No, it's about Deion Sanders.
I saw his comments from over the weekend, yeah.
And it's like, oh, hey, maybe it's like the thing that teams wanted to avoid and why Shedeur Sanders falls to the fifth round. Part of the reason is because his father is outspoken and he's going to say things and throw a little bit of controversy into a quarterback position that may be unsettled.
He makes Shadur a famous backup quarterback that is very hard then to keep on a roster because they will overshadow your starter and make conversations in the locker room much more difficult.
And surprise, surprise, to nobody in the world, Deion Sanders speaks over the weekend. Oh, yeah, it's going to go down this year. He's going to get a shot because he's been drafted to the Cleveland Browns after the player himself rebuffed the Eagles and Ravens, reportedly.
I was a little thrown by that report that the Ravens were thinking about. Was it in the fifth round, right? That was the report?
I think so.
The Ravens were debating drafting him there. But with that being said, I was saying on day three of the NFL draft, I would not have been against the Bills doing it.
Right.
Because
turns out he would have been against it.
Yeah. What's funny is I think the Ravens are thinking the same thing of he's a tradable asset. You know, in a year or two, we'll move him because people will want him.
And
he'll
nothing
be
is more popular than a good backup quarterback that puts positive tape out there.
Mm-hmm. And who's been with two great organizations that helped him develop the whole thing. Yeah.
Sorry you can't start right away. But now, again, it is literally the trap that has been laid. Springs. Surprising nobody in the world that Deion Sanders speaks out like that. And again, this is part of why he falls. He does exactly what teams wanted to avoid.
He'll have to get
stop getting in your kid's way.
Yeah, it's gotten bad now. I will say, though, for the Browns, they have not scored 20 points yet this season. However, for Shadur, he is going to have to get past Dylan Gabriel, who is actually the backup quarterback and a higher-drafted rookie at that. But we'll see ultimately if that ends up happening. I don't imagine he'll get a start this year. I do think they'll want to see more from Gabriel and then go back to the draft. That'll do it for us today, though. Coming up next, Sabres Live. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.